Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Zipping along.
And we're very fortunate to have with us Ronald Fotula, who is an elder law attorney. And again, you know, I always enjoy these conversations because there's always something to learn.
Oh, yeah.
And in this particular point, Otto's asking questions, I'm asking questions, and the listeners are definitely learning something.
Sure.
Let's go back to the, is the biggest thing, the will versus the trust.
Yeah, and then executive versus what does a trustee do, and can I name myself as a trustee? It's kind of a lot of questions in one.
Sure. So I'm happy to start with the last one.
Yeah, let's do that.
Sure. If you have a revocable trust, and even an irrevocable trust, you can name yourself as a trustee. So there's a grantor or settlor or creator. That's the individual that creates the trust, the grantor, let's say. The trustee is the individual that manages the assets of the trust. And then you have beneficiaries. There could be income beneficiaries. Let's say the grantor, the creator of the trust, decides to keep income. That's an income beneficiary. And then upon death, we have remainder beneficiaries. The grantor, the person who creates the trust, can be the trustee also. But when we're talking about a Medicaid trust, it's not good practice.
Right. Okay.
Can happen, but it's definitely not good practice.
They would have the right to turn around and say, give the money to...
The Department of Social Services will say, look, you know, you created the trust, you're managing it, you're doing too much control, it's your money.
Yeah, right.
Which is why a revocable trust is not good for Medicaid. It doesn't protect the assets for Medicaid.
It's like a legal shield, almost, as I say it.
In a sense, yeah, for Medicaid.
Yeah. Yeah, but even with your, and you can correct me, Ronald, but with your will, mm-hmm. anything like a life insurance, mm-hmm. that's outside the will. So I'd rather be the beneficiary of your life insurance than somebody who's going to be a beneficiary of your will, because that's going to go through probate and everything else, and who's going to fight about it? Nobody's fighting about the life insurance.
Well,
I got it.
A lot of your assets, you can designate a beneficiary for, like IRA accounts.
Right, all those things. Anything with a beneficiary.
Bank accounts, whatever, and they would not go into the will.
Right.
That would go directly to the beneficiary.
They would not be probated under the will. Right, that's correct.
So then I guess one of my questions for myself is, personally, is what assets do you have that would not be under beneficiary control, if you will?
Well, okay, very good. Yeah. So let's say you own a home,
right.
a co-op, or
right.
a condominium. You know, unless you have the asset held jointly with somebody else, jointly with the right of survivorship, let's say with a child, you know, if it's in your name, Otto, it's yours, you know.
You can't have a beneficiary for a house.
You don't have a beneficiary in a deed.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, when you pass away, it'll either be probated or we could actually put the title of the home into a trust, whether revocable or if we want Medicaid protection, or there are some other reasons also for an irrevocable trust. And, you know, we do that every day of the week in our practice.
Now, so you could have a living
trust.
So
that would then turn around and basically give his house in the irrevocable trust a beneficiary.
And you control who the beneficiary is.
Yeah. So you could have a beneficiary of your house by putting it into the trust,
right.
an irrevocable trust, and upon your death, it goes to XYZ person.
So you
It could even go to a charity. It could go to your children. It could go anywhere you want.
So you could
even
have
me.
Revocable or irrevocable trust just for your house,
yes.
let's say,
yes.
if that's what you chose 100%, to do.
100%,
because all your other assets are, you're able to do something through a beneficiary.
Right, so but sometimes you would want to transfer assets into the irrevocable trust as well, even if you have beneficiary designations. Just because an asset won't be probated doesn't mean you don't want to do Medicaid planning as well. So you could put your home in a irrevocable trust. That'll protect it. Yes, it won't be probated, but you also get Medicaid protection. You're not going to transfer retirement accounts or IRAs into any trust, because that'll cause it to become a taxable event. Right. An IRA is an individual retirement account, so once you take it out of the individual, it's going to be taxed.
Okay, let me
ask
you a question.
Big no-no there.
An IRA, an individual IRA, somebody has $300,000 or $400,000, they die. The beneficiary of the IRA could be a trust.
Yes, you can have the beneficiary.
Go from that point on.
Yes, okay. The beneficiary of the IRA could be a trust,
right?
But you don't change the ownership of that IRA to a trust, like the other assets.
Right, right.
Yeah, you were sure. Yeah. Mm.
Complicated.
It is complicated.
You need people who like Ron, who you can talk to about what fits your situation, which can vary for everybody.
It's complicated, but I think the more exposure your listeners have to this, I guess it becomes simpler over time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think if you go back like 10, 15 years ago, you know, you know, people had no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
Now you read more. But the mistake that's made is, and you go on these, you can go on Google and one of these things, people like to do it on their own.
Oh, a huge mistake.
I'm not saying, I'm not pushing you, I'm not pushing anybody, but this is the kind of stuff, you don't sit down and buy one of those forms for $75 and have it notarized, and you move your stuff around.
These trusts are complicated.
Right.
It might look simple or might sound simple, but it's complicated. You don't want Medicaid to challenge the trust.
Right.
If we're doing it for estate tax planning, you don't want the IRS to challenge it. You know, and they do.
Of course,
they do all the time. Yeah.
Well, as I said, I use the word shield, which is probably not a good word to use. Yet, on the other hand, it is a bit of a shield.
Exactly, it is.
Yeah.
You're
protecting your assets so that you or your family. You won't lose them, and they'll be able to benefit from them down the road.
It's
for your family. It's for yourself. It's to make it easier. It's to avoid big will contests later on. You know, and they're trusts for individuals that you don't want assets to go to directly.
We find
that all the time in our practice. That's a huge deal. For example, grandchildren. You know, I'd mentioned that before, but that's a big deal. You know, many times people say, well, I want to give 10% to my grandchildren or 20% the rest to my children equally. Oftentimes, that's a mistake. You know, if the grandchildren are mature, they're over age, that's fine. But if they're not, I think it's a big, big issue.
100%.
You know, an area that I have looked into a little bit is if you have bank accounts, it seems like some banks have rules where you can't have beneficiaries or there's a limit on how many beneficiaries.
I know. They do limit beneficiaries.
So then
I don't get
now
it.
Now you're stuck because, you know, like I have six children.
Right.
Can't put them all in.
Right, right.
So now what? Okay.
Well, that's the whole thing. You do have the ability to create a trust. And you could have a revocable trust, you know, for assets. Yeah, Medicaid could get to them. But you want to have total control over some of your assets,
right,
or maybe
even
all, depending on what you have. And you could also have a Medicaid trust as well. You can have both. And assets will go, all of the assets in the trust will go without probate to the beneficiaries that you've named. But the asset has to be retitled into the name of the trust.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize it, but if it's a home, the home has to be retitled to the trustee of the trust. It's not actually to the name of the trust, the trustee of the trust, like all the bank accounts or brokerage accounts, et cetera.
So that's a complicated process.
Otto would set up a trust, a regular living trust, non-revocable, because this would be just money in the bank. Mm-hmm. And then he'd be the trustee, actually.
So
this way you want to go and take $500 out, you take your five, that's your regular. You would just change the title of your account. You'll still have the access, or you and Bunny. Well, and then, God forbid, something happened, then the kids.
But when you say just change the title of the account, is it just that? Like, can I just change
title
of the real estate?
No.
Once the trust is set, you go in with those papers. Then that's what I talk. When I mean by change the title, they take.
Yeah, but
your
I
money
mean, can I, as a lay person, go into the bank once I have a trust set up and say, I do that with real estate?
Yes. But so you need the attorney to draft the trust.
Right.
Once it's all set, and let's say it's a revocable trust and you're the trustee, all you do is go into a bank, a brokerage house, you know, anywhere you want.
A piece of paper.
Yeah.
Where would you go as far as real estate goes? Like your own?
The attorney could just, it's not a big deal. transfer the...
Once the trust is established.
The ownership, use a deed, transfer the ownership to you as trustee of your own revocable trust.
Right.
Not a big deal at all.
And
I must say the filing fees in Nassau County have gone up tremendously.
Really?
Many counties, it's a couple hundred dollars. Nassau County, it's $845, almost $1,000.
I've been trying to get out of trouble.
That's,
just keep raising fees.
Yeah, I'm just saying, sorry.
Yeah.
I know I'm off topic, but
that's
yeah.
Fine.
But you're talking about transferring. We would need to do that, and you'd need to pay that filing fee as well.
Right.
So setting up a trust can be simple or complicated, and
right.
and I'm sure the fee that you pay is based on that.
On what we do,
what
right.
would be the typical range, and I'm not trying to pin you down.
Sure.
Like 1,000 to 10,000 or?
Well, that sounds good to me.
Does it?
No, but it's typically.
Could I get in on $1,000 package?
We'll talk about it after the show, Otto, sure. No, but the average range in our office is about $3,750 to about $5,000-ish.
You know, for a trust.
For a trust. And typically, it's there for your lifetime.
Right.
You know, and you could change the beneficiaries. We put in that power of appointment if it's irrevocable. Revocable, you could do whatever the heck you want. You know, it's your money. But there are many good reasons. And I know, John, you asked that question. Well, number one, you avoid issues with a will contest later on because the assets just
right.
go. And Anato, your situation with several children, you were a busy guy when you were younger?
actually, I married a woman who had three.
Oh, you married? Oh, terrific.
Blended family.
Brady Bunch.
You're right.
The Otto Bunch.
Yes.
The Otto Bunch.
which is wonderful. But it makes it more difficult for you because you can't just name all of these children as beneficiaries.
Well, they're
on
all
bank
adopted
accounts.
Legally. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But on bank accounts, the banks make it harder. So you could do a trust. And there's no issue with that.
Do I still need a will?
It's always good to have a will. Oftentimes, we have a will that goes with a trust that's called a pour-over will. It says that if assets are not, all the assets are not held by a trust or have beneficiary designations, then if something needs to be probated, the asset will pour, quote-unquote, pour into the trust after death. And whatever the trust says is where the asset will go. But you want to be diligent.
Right.
And, you know, if you're going to have a trust, make it count.
We're basically out of time. Ron, I want to thank you so much.
That
the stuff
great.
That would go into the will, in my mind, would be you're saying pour over. You had a clock. You have, some fancy dishes or something like that.
No one's going to fight about that.
You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.